Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. He grabbed him and threw him into the wall, pulled his fist back and was about ready to hit him. The guy he was going to hit started to kick and push him away. They wrestled together and fell to the floor. And suddenly their third grade teacher yelled at them down the hall in this Christian school, "Christians don't do that!" Just so happened that a middle-aged member of the congregation happened to be walking down the hall that day and in the church and in the school, and decided to stop by afterwards to talk to the teacher, and came up to her desk after school was over and said, "You know, I heard you yell that at those two little boys that were fighting in the hall today, and you said, 'Christians don't do that.'" He said, "You know, sometimes Christians do that." They shouldn't. It's one thing to say Christians shouldn't do that, but when you say Christians don't do that, what do you think they say to themselves having heard that, knowing they just did it? This week, our readings and a lot of what we talk about focuses on love and charity and kindness. Yesterday we had a nice homily on love toward our enemies. And we can easily give our amen to that, our assent. We can look at all of those wonderful virtues that we should have as Christians, and we can look at the law of God, how we're supposed to love everybody, and say, "Yeah, that's right." And we all love that when it happens to us and so on. It's good, it's right, it's what we should do, but at the same time, as our text so clearly points out, that's just not the way our lives play out. One of our hymns has a little line in it that often strikes me whenever we sing it. "We are so sluggish, thoughtless, cold." Isn't that often the way we are? St. Paul, in the text before us, is describing this tension that lives in the heart and mind and life of the believer. There's this great love for God and for Christ and for his forgiveness and for his grace and what he's done for us. There's a love for his kingdom, for wanting to obey his commandments. There's a desire in us to want to do that. But at the same time, it just doesn't work out that way. There's still a great love for the world. And there's a great love for our sinful desires and wanting to fulfill them. And it's so easy for us to just use our tongues against people, and it's so easy for us to just casually disobey God and act like it's no big deal and so on. On the one hand, we know we're justified. We know that God through Christ has saved us. We've been declared innocent before a holy God. We get to go to heaven someday because of the faith that God has given us. And yet at the same time, sometimes we even look for opportunities to harm that God. We even go out of our way to find them. We search for them on the internet. We go out and try to find ways and places. We plot and plan sometimes even how we can disobey God. The text describes for us this battle as a war that's being waged. In fact, the words that are translated "waging war," the Greek word for this, I'm going to read it to you and see if you can hear a word inside of it. Antistratuomai. Anti-strategy is where that comes from. The concept of having a battle plan, not just the fight, but an actual plan to try to counter something. There is this war that our sinful flesh has with our faith, an anti-strategy for us to stay Christians. And sometimes when we fall and Maybe we fall big and hard sometimes. Maybe it even becomes public knowledge. Sometimes when we fall, it's like my own conscience will reach up and grab me by the throat and say, "You claim to be a Christian, you claim to love Christ and belong to God, and this is the way you act?" And even when we maybe sometimes do the right thing, even when we do sometimes show love for God or show love for our fellow man and do something of kindness or mercy or somehow be charitable or whatever, what happens? Well, my own sinful flesh jumps up again and goes, "Hey, good job. Boy, you are quite the godly person. Maybe there should be more people like you in the world." Sometimes this struggle that goes on inside of the heart of the Christian can be so bothersome that we just think maybe it'd be easier to just walk away from it all, walk away from Christ. The struggle that Paul is describing is not unique to modern life, even though maybe sometimes we think it seems like we've got a lot more ways to sin around us and a lot more temptations around us today. But it's not unique to us. Go way back into the Bible, the book of Genesis. Noah, spared by God because of his faith, he's brought through that horrific flood. God has him build the ark and so on. One of God's faithful, praised in the scriptures. 23 verses after he comes out of the ark, we find him drunk in his tent. Lot, spared by God from the horrific destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah, he is brought out of that city and spared as one of God's faithful. 10 verses later, he's having incestuous sex with his daughters. David, praised by God in the scriptures in one chapter for showing great kindness to Mephibosheth as an obvious example of his faith and so on. 19 verses later, he's stealing another man's wife, sleeping with her, impregnating her, and having the man killed. Peter, who says to Jesus the night of our Lord's arrest, "Lord, I'm ready to die with you." 20 verses later, he's denying that he even knows who Jesus is. This is not unique to our day and age. In the mid-200s, about 250 or so, there was a pastor in North Africa by the name of Cyprian. Listen to what he writes in one of his sermons for his people. Listen to what he says. "There is a struggle and a daily contest between the flesh and the spirit, so that we do not do the things we want to. Since the spirit seeks heavenly and divine things, but the flesh lusts after earthly and worldly things." One of my members years ago was talking to me about how hard it was to deal with this battle that goes on inside of her as a Christian. And she said, I love coming out of church and knowing about God's grace and just feeling so great about that, but I can't even make it to the parking lot without sinning." This battle is real, and it also is the life of the Christian in this world. It is the life of the Christian in this world. If you happen to have come upon a car accident, two cars collided, and there were victims in those vehicles, and as you rush to the scene to try to help, the ones who are crying out in pain are the ones that you know for sure are still alive. One of the vital signs of having true Christian faith in this life is that we feel the pain of our sinful flesh. We know what that tension is, and we live with it. In fact, we go so far as to say that if you don't sense that tension with your sinful flesh, then something's wrong. If one of your friends were to take you and blindfold you and bring you over to one of the clinics in town and quietly sit you down in one of the chairs and take off your blindfold and just leave you in that room without anybody coming in, you could look around and pretty quickly determine you're in a place for sick people. Posters on the wall and some of the objects and so on. When you come into the sanctuary of God that He Himself has designed and established by His decree, and when you look around at the things that He wants done in His sanctuary, you can tell it's been designed to help spiritually sick people who know they're sinful, who have to come and hear his absolution of forgiveness time and time again, who have to come and receive the body and blood of their Savior that purchased their salvation time and time again, over and over, for the forgiveness of their sins. They have to bring their little children to be baptized. They have to hear God's word regularly. God has designed the Christian faith around people who struggle with their sins. And all of that has been designed to bring us the healing balm of the gospel, to really bring us Christ. It's here where God says to us, even though your personal life of sanctification is a constant battle and sometimes a mess, take heart. Your justification before me is perfect and complete because of Christ. And so may you and I continue to battle and continue to come here into God's clinic, and may we look forward to the day when we are completely well from this disease. Amen.